Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Lionel Richie. That's how you get the 5 o'clock happy hour started. 5 o'clock hour presented by our friends at the Funky Buddha Brewery. Funky Buddha happy hour. Love ourselves some Funky Buddha. They got a cruise coming up, which is a twist in the plot. A Funky Buddha cruise.
Caribbean cruise.
Caribbean cruise.
Next February, I will be on it. Come hang with us. Beer, obviously. More beer and beer. Exclusive beer. Beer Olympics. Beer dinners. Everything is through the Caribbean. It's leaving out of Fort Lauderdale. Come on. It's going to be a good time. Go to funkybuddhabrewery.com/cruise. Sign up. We're going to have a ball.
All night long.
And talking about the chicken wings we were talking about, you know, throughout this week. How you get you a hop gun with some hot wings?
Mm.
Oh, my goodness.
That's why it's the Funky Buddha happy hour. It just makes everybody smile.
My wife was calling me to the bedroom, and I had some hot wings and a hop gun.
You'd have to think twice.
I'd have to tell her, give me 15. I'd be in there at the wow.
She's like, you give me 15.
15? What do you think this is, New Year's? Your birthday was months ago.
I'd be yelling out, can I add up some days? I can get to 15, but it's going to take some creative math.
Ridiculous.
I'm going to get to this movie trailer in a second. When we started the show today, obviously we started the show talking about Nick Bonacani and his passing, and Kim Bokamper spoke about him eloquently at 4 o'clock. When I started the show, though, I said, I looked down at my email. This is exactly how it happened at 2 o'clock. I looked down at my email, and I see a press release from the Miami Dolphins, and it says, Miami Dolphins waive Wilson. And so I immediately thought, wow, Brian Flores, he gets rid of the offensive line coach. Now he's getting rid of Albert Wilson. Like, he's telling you that things are different in Davie. But it was not Albert Wilson. It was the punter, Stone Wilson.
He got a name of a winner.
Stone Wilson is a great name.
It is.
Oh, I didn't even know this. He went to FIU. Did you know that, Solana?
Pause up.
So you didn't know it, but you just reflexively answered, pause up. He was a four-year letterman at Florida International, played 50 games, set school records for most punts and punt yards. Probably not a good thing for the program to have a most punts record.
But we're on the up and up over at FIU. Butch Davis.
Yeah,
we're coming. We're coming to Marlins Park, papa.
Did it say just
dropped a papa on us.
Did they say most yards per punt? Or most punting yards.
Most punting yards.
That just means you were there for a real long time.
Mm-hmm. Four years, he punted for 8,255 yards. I'm not even kidding.
It's a lot of that's embarrassing.
And that's why Butch Davis is there, papa.
Listen.
How long has he been there? This is third season?
This will be his second season.
Second season, okay. There's a couple of between, you know, Lane Kiffin up in Boca and Butch Davis at FIU. Why? What are you laughing at Lane Kiffin for?
Lane Kiffin, FAU.
I say, UM might not have the best coach.
Disagree.
How do you know?
That's
Hawk?
A cute little gator tactic there. But see what he did there? They might not have the best coach.
The man's never have coached a game as a head coach.
I would take him over Butch Davis and Lane Kiffin combined. Papa.
Pause up.
Pause up. What? No.
Did you just yell pause?
Yeah, I didn't mean to. I got caught up in the moment. Papa.
I don't like it.
Anyway, here is the movie trailer. So this is what happened earlier in the show. This is what generated all those texts. And I didn't realize how beloved this movie trailer was, because trust me, you're going to be shocked by it when it starts to play, just like we were. We had no advanced listen to this. The story I shared, Solana, he had a bad day yesterday.
Yes.
Right? He was a bad producer yesterday.
Rough.
Bad day. Producer.
No.
Debatable.
No. No.
No.
In fact, there is a very funny video on my Instagram I brought in. Sometimes, you know, you have a bad, if the tight end has a bad performance,
yeah,
and Tony Gonzalez happens to be in the neighborhood, you might have him come over and just take a look at what's going on with your tight ends.
Call it kicking the tires.
Kicking the tires, yeah, and just see what's going on. So I had to call in the radio producing equivalent of Tony Gonzalez
of
for
Anthony
tight ends.
Fasano, right.
So if you look at my Instagram, it's Radio Mark Hockman. You will see who I brought in to observe Solana, give me some notes, and maybe even steal his job.
Who am I, by the way? Who would I be the tight end equivalent in radio producing?
Who's the guy that concussed himself? I was thinking of Jordan Cameron or Jordan. But
Michael Agnew.
Yeah, a guy who had some potential and came in with a whole bunch of excitement and really just kind of petered out.
You like that?
So anyway, Solana did not have the best show yesterday, but he was determined to fix it today. And I walked in, I said, "You ready for a bounce back game?" And he's like, "I got you, Papa." And I love when he says that. I say, "All right, let's go." And he says, "I got this movie trailer." I go, what does that mean? He goes, yeah. Movie, you know, he talks in radio teases. Like, he doesn't give me the information.
In real life.
So at like 3 o'clock today, 3:15, somewhere around there, we're, I don't know what we were talking about. And he's like, "Oh, the movie trailer." So he created a movie trailer if the last 5 or 6 shows that Crowder and I have done together was turned into a movie. And this isn't the worst idea in the world. Like, radio.com, like, this is how they should promote the podcasts, right? Do it via movie trailers.
Yes.
Like, if you do it this way, like, when you listen to this movie trailer, if you miss some of the shows this week, you may hear this and then go, "You know what? There's obviously some stuff in there that I got to hear," because he weaved it together as if it was a story.
It's a great idea.
Here are the problems with it. I'll just give you a little warning going into it. Here's the problems. He tried to do the movie trailer voice, but he doesn't have that ability. And so what he did was he just put his voice through one of these effects processors. And so it just sounds slow and weird. And he put so many zaps and zingers in there that oftentimes listening on AM radio in your car, you just won't hear the punchline because he overzapped it.
It's a couple good punchlines.
But the concept is brilliant. Here is Alex Solana's look at the last 5 or 6 shows if it was put together in a very low budget movie trailer.
In a world where flora and fauna are in danger.
Flora, I want to save fauna. The planet. I'm not doing it via straws, though.
And their futures are at risk more and more each day.
Wouldn't we like to wipe mosquitoes off the face of the planet?
One man is here to solve the mysteries.
We would, but it'd mess up the ecosystem real bad.
While most will look past the bigger picture,
what do we do with sea turtles regardless?
Our hero won't sleep until he finds the balance.
I'd be up late at night, and I'd be drunk.
Mark Hockman.
There's a trash patch, but you know what? No one goes to that part of the Pacific anymore. What is that?
Channing Crowder.
They're part of the circle of life. You saw Lion King?
Michael Irvin?
He had heart down in his toes.
In the last straw.
Circle of life. I saw a show about it.
Coming to a theater near you next February.
It's so brilliant idea-wise, but the execution is flawed. First of all, you're muffled. So you're narrating. You understand that when the narrator is a little bit muffled, over-modulated, over-echoed, you're missing out. Then I just noticed the zap when you go from Channing Crowder to Michael Irvin. There's like a weird pause in there before the zap, and then there's a huge zap over the name of the movie. There's a whole bunch of things wrong with it. I find it to be delightful, makes me smile from ear to ear. But now that you've listened to it on the air, do you say to yourself, huh, maybe I could have fine-tuned this even a little bit more?
Couple more edits, maybe. Yeah.
He told me before,
that's all he got.
Well, he told me before, he goes, I wanted to get it done in time. And so I go, what do you mean get it done in time? No one told you to do this. Like, you could have started at 6 a.m. Like, no one gave you a deadline. We didn't even know this was being done. So in time could have been tomorrow.
Like, could have released it tomorrow. I was just going to say, like,
it'd be like a painter, you know, he comes up with a work of art and he's like, yeah, I wanted to get it done in time, or it would have been a little bit better. Like, but you were doing it on your own.
Take your time.
But I think I'm not lying. I think it's great. I really do. I think you'll listen back 5 years from now and say, wow, I can't believe I put that on the air. But right now, for you, I think it's great. In fact, I'd like to listen to it again. Try to listen real hard. Like, roll your windows up and crank the radio as loud as you can, because, you know, the levels are off a little bit. But play it one more time.
In a world where flora and fauna are in danger.
I want to save the planet. I'm not doing it via straws, though.
And their futures are at risk more and more each day.
Wouldn't we like to wipe mosquitoes off the face of the planet?
One man is here to solve the mysteries.
We would, but it'd mess up the ecosystem real bad.
While most will look past the bigger picture,
what do we do with sea turtles regardless?
Our hero won't sleep until he finds the balance.
I'd be up late at night, and I'd be drunk.
Mark Hockman.
There's a trash patch, but you know what? No one goes to that part of the Pacific. I do not understand that, Zach.
They're part of the circle.
Listen to the pause here before Irvin.
Michael Irvin?
He had heart down in his toes.
In the last straw.
The circle of life. I saw a show about it.
Coming to a theater near you next February.
Here's some of the texts. OMG, how'd I miss this earlier? I'm diving. I'm dying. Bravo, Solana. Somebody else texts in. So hard to understand him, but definitely delightful. Somebody says, sounds like one of those witness protection voices when they blacked out the person, modulate the voice.
It does.
Someone wants to know, is that Darth Vader doing the voiceover? Somebody else texts in, LMAO. Somebody else says, man, that's pretty terrible. It's everything. It's an everything bagel. Sometimes you don't just want pumpernickel. You don't just want sesame. Sometimes you want a little bit of everything.
I want it all.
He gave you an everything bagel on that one. That is honestly, I love it. I think it's delightful, Solana. I think you've redeemed yourself from yesterday.
And I like being the hero. I appreciate it, bro. Thanks.
I don't know if the plot, the way you narrate it, makes sense, though. Like if you really break it down, and the flora and fauna, I mean... Did you have to get that, you know, descriptive? I mean,
sounded better than mosquitoes and sea turtles.
Right.
Also, I told you, you're always trying to understand things, break things down. I've never understood a thing in my entire life, and I'm doing great.
So. That's a fair point. Fair point. Somebody says, look at the bright side. It can only get better. Somebody else says, banger. I say, somebody else says, banger. Somebody says, not a banger.
Not a banger.
You have the volume too low. You don't even know what you're doing there.
Not a banger.
Woo! Driving back from Naples, that bleep sounded like hot garbage. Somebody says, it all makes sense. Circle of life, straws, I get it.
You get it, huh?
Somebody says, so bad, it's good. That's where I fall in. So bad, it is good.
I enjoy it. Makes me smile.
That is excellent. All right. Well done out of you, Alejandro Solana. We talked with Kim Bocamper at 4 o'clock about the passing of Miami Dolphins legend Nick Bonacani. We learned that a few hours before the show today. Nick Bonacani, whose problems as he got older were well documented, including a documentary on HBO. But Nick Bonacani, just a Miami Dolphins legend, a South Florida icon, was a champion for spinal cord research with the Bonacani Fund to cure paralysis. And in fact, there was a statement from Mark Bonacani, his son, from the Bonacani Fund. Mark Bonacani said, "Today, with a heavy heart and profound sorrow, my family and the entire Miami Project to Cure Paralysis and Bonacani Fund community mourn the loss of a man who was truly larger than life, my father, NFL Hall of Famer Nick Bonacani. My dad has been my hero and represents what I have always aspired to be, a leader, a mentor, and a champion. He selflessly gave all to football, to his family, and to those who were less fortunate. He made a promise to me that turned into a revolution in paralysis research. We can best honor his dedication and endless commitment by continuing with our work until that promise is fulfilled and a cure is found." So that's from Mark Bonacani. So Nat Moore from the Miami Dolphins, he knew Nick Bonacani, worked with Nick Bonacani, played with Nick Bonacani. So we will remember him with Nat Moore when we come back. Nice. I read to you at the beginning of the show today the Pro Football Hall of Fame, their statement on Nick Bonacani, a legendary Miami Dolphin, and it said, "Nick Bonacani was a true hero of the game. His inspiring Hall of Fame journey that started as a 13th round draft choice to leading the Dolphins' no-name defense is one filled with grit, determination, courage, and compassion. Nick's contributions off the field were even greater than what he did on it. He lived a life of honor and nobility, and his legacy will live forever through his bronze bust in Canton, Ohio." Nat Moore, who we love talking to. Nat Moore is another legendary Miami Dolphin, and he's very active with the Miami Dolphins. But we thought when we heard about Nick Bonacani's passing today that we would bring Nat Moore on, and maybe he could share a few words about this legendary Miami Dolphin. So we'll head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. And are you there, Nat?
I'm here, Hawk. You know, it's a sad day for Dolphin fans. You know, when you think about the greatness of the Dolphins in the 70s, Nick Bonacani is the first name that jumps to the forefront from that no-name defense. And, you know, just one of the great players of all time. And, you know, it's sad anytime you lose anyone, but especially a guy like Nick that not only did so much for South Florida and putting the Miami Dolphins on the map on the defensive side of football, but also the work he has done with paralysis and the fight to cure paralysis with the Miami Project.
Yeah, I was going to say that he, much like you with the Miami Dolphins, you know, where you embrace your community role and you try to be a great community steward in South Florida, after his son's injury, which everyone down here is familiar with, I mean, he was a champion for spinal cord research.
Yeah, that, you know, he and his foundation, the Bonacani Fund, has raised well over 600 plus million through the years. And because of that, there's been some breakthroughs in the fight against paralysis. And, you know, it's not, and paralysis don't just happen to football players. You know, it happens in car accidents, motorcycle accidents, it happens in war. So those breakthroughs are helping so many people get out of wheelchairs and walk again that it just shows you how the good Lord works in mysterious ways. Nick is one of those guys that no matter what he takes on, he succeeds, and he'll leave no stone unturned to find the answer and to get the success. So, you know, even though he's leaving us here at age 78, his life was full. He did a lot of great things and helped a lot of good people.
And then I'm going to go on the field in a second because a lot of people, like myself, I never actually watched Nick Boniconi play just with the age, but great businessman, great philanthropist. He was an attorney. He passed the bar while playing in the NFL. After his career, the media inside the NFL, what made Nick so special off the field? You played with him for a year, and you're a little younger than him, so it was a guy that you could look up to. What made him so special off the field?
Well, I like the way you say I'm a little younger. You didn't just say you younger. You just want everybody to know that I'm a little old at the same time.
You're right in the middle.
Backhanded compliment.
But Channing, you're so right. You know, his work ethic, his desire to succeed, I used to like to call it the little man complex, where nobody is bigger, better, or badder than he is. And, you know, he proved that when he played. And then life after football, no matter what job he took, I mean, at one point, believe it or not, Nick and I go back so far that Nick was my agent. You know, he was the guy going in there and fighting Joe Robbie to get me the best contract. And to his credit, at one point, I was the second highest paid player on the football team because of Nick Boniconi. So, I mean, Nick's just one of those guys that, you know, he cares about people. And he just didn't know how to not outwork the other individual. He was extremely, extremely smart. You know, we sometimes compare Zach Thomas and talk about how great Zach was in the meeting rooms and how he'd come out and he read all his keys and he was there before. Well, that's what Nick was in the 70s. I mean, I used to watch Nick. We'd be standing behind the offense and, you know, second team's going, and Nick's standing there next to me. And before the snap of the ball, he tells me what play we're running. And I'm like, how do you know that? He says, well, I'm watching the linemen. I'm watching the backs. I'm looking at the pressure on their fingers. I'm looking. I mean, and that's who he was, a small guy that, you know, would read the play, read his keys, and he'd get in the hole before the offense got started. The big guys never got momentum, and he was already in there stopping the play. And he played in the 3-4, Channing. It wasn't just the 4-3. He played in the 3-4 where he had to take on guards and tackles. But because he was so quick and because he was so smart, he would get there and hit them before they got out of their stance well.
Nat Moore is with us. I was just going to say, like, I had no idea that he was your agent. I knew that, like, right after football, he jumped right into the business world, right? Like, there was no lag time.
Yeah, he and a guy named Barry Garber had a partnership as attorneys. And, you know, I never really thought of agents. I always used attorneys as my representatives, and you know, even my first contract coming out of University of Florida. And so with Nick being an attorney, you know, I used him to represent me and to negotiate my contract. So through the years, he and I have always remained very close, good friends, very close to the family. You know, my heart goes out to them, especially, you know, Mark and Nick Jr. And it's just one of those things where the last couple of years, his life has not really been fruitful, you know, and you hate to see anybody pass, but at least his suffering has finally ended.
Yeah, Nat, now I wanted to ask you, too, just as you see the guys, you know, if you see especially Nick with what happened and he flat out said the CTE stuff, he believes, you know, football gave him so much but took so much away. Are you worried about what football did to you?
No. I mean, you know, Channing, I'm one of those guys that I love the game. And, you know, the game has afforded me a lot of things that I would have never, ever had a chance to get or receive or enjoy. And, you know, even to the point that, you know, my big comment to most people has always been they paid me to practice. I was going to play on Sunday anyway. That's the way I grew up. You know, I mean, when you're playing in high school, the only reward is the game. That's why you work so hard. And by the same token, in college, it was the same way. And in the pros, there was no way if I could get out there, I wasn't going to play. So I love the game of football. And, you know, I think with any and everything you do, there are mishaps and consequences that could come about. But I don't think that football is no different than anything else you do in life, that someone has some danger to it. And, you know, because of the way the game is played, because it's the number one sport in America, it's affording a lot of people a great living. And not just the guys that are playing the game, but all the coaches and everybody else that's in the NFL, that's in college football. There's a lot of people making a great living off of football.
I think a lot of football players, Channing's one of them, will tell you the same thing. Look, I wouldn't change a thing about what I did. And I think a lot of us watched that Nick Bonacani special on HBO when you saw him, you know, as he was struggling with the mental disabilities that that were caused. But I watched a show, who was it? Just a couple months ago, but it was another football player that was struggling with it. But most people will tell you the same thing. Hey, I played the game. I understood that there was a risk. The way Nick Bonacani played it, though, Channing and I talked about this at the beginning of the show. Back in that day, I mean, I'm guessing you were taught to lead with your helmet and whatnot. I mean, it was just a different ball game.
Yeah, I mean, I think everything evolves. And, I mean, you go back and you think about when the game was first started playing with leather helmets.
Yeah.
I mean, so eventually everything evolves. And ironically, you know, when we think about Alzheimer's and, you know, and we're now calling it a concussion protocol and all that stuff. But usually when people get a certain age, they become forgetful. And if you were to take a poll, it would be interesting to see the percentage of football players that basically at this age or at that certain age where it starts to happen, where, you know, Alzheimer's sets in and et cetera, dementia. What's the percentage of football players compared to normal
society?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I know a lot of people that are having those same mental issues. They're up there in age, and you know, they didn't play any sport. I mean, so, and I'm not knocking the concussion syndrome and et cetera, but by the same token, I don't want to blame everything on the fact that you played football and you know, you got hit a lot. You know, I mean, you know, I broke my leg twice. You know, guess what? I could have broke my leg walking across the street. So, you know, that's just part of it. And you know, if you guys don't mind, I'd rather, you know, think about and talk about the greatness of Nick Bonacani versus the last 3 or 4 years where we saw him as a shell of himself.
Oh, yeah. And I'm with you, too. And just talking about the normal person, I remember my grandmother, she got Alzheimer's, and I started finding fish bones in my spaghetti. And I had to be like, hey, you're not supposed to put fish in spaghetti. Like, something's going wrong. She was a hell of a cook. So, like you're saying,
she never played football.
Never played football. So, that's what I'm saying. Like, it happens. My uncle had dementia and all that stuff.
Hey, you talk about injuries. I've seen Crowder tear an ACL doing a live read.
You can go to hell. How about that? but Nat, to your point, I wanted to ask you, Nick was your agent. You were a teammate of Nick. How would Nick want us to deal with today?
Well, I think Nick said it best himself, because the one thing about Nick was he was always looking out for others. And even when he first came out and did that Sports Illustrated, I thought that was more about, you know, at a certain age, the guys that played the game are struggling that played in his day. And unlike he, didn't have the financial wherewithal to be able to take care of their needs, and wanted to bring attention to that so that hopefully those guys would get more help. And a lot of them has. You know, I mean, the concussion protocol has done quite a bit for a lot of people. Now, there's still a lot of people struggling because they can't get help. But I think that's what Nick would want. Nick would say, you know, we're doing a much better job improving the game and et cetera, but how do we help those that pretty much came along, did their time, and helped develop the game to help make their last few years better?
Nick Bonacani would probably be angry if we had you on and we didn't talk any football, being that my Florida – my Miami Hurricanes are taking on your and Crowder's.
I got an ally now.
Florida Gators.
Just know I got
because
an ally.
Here's what's happened, Nat. Nat Moore is with us. Now, over the last couple of weeks, I've brought on Michael Irvin and Gino Toretta, and we're starting to get the Miami Hurricanes
bias
working, as we should. But now Crowder's got a little bit of an ally. Are you going up to Orlando for the Canes-Gators game by any chance?
Not as of yet, because I'm still waiting to see what my schedule is going to be here with the Dolphins. But either way, I'm there. I mean, if I'm not there in person, I'm there in spirit. And, you know, the one thing I must tell you guys is that contrary to all the smack that's talked on the radio by former players like myself and Michael Irvin, et cetera, we're not playing. Mm-hmm. We're not playing. And the guys that are playing are the guys that, you know, the rest of their lives, they're going to have to deal with who won that game. So what I've found through the years, you can throw out the records, you can throw all that away. When those two teams play, because so many of the kids come from the same neighborhoods, the same communities, the same cities, it's about bragging rights for life. And I can tell you it will be a knockdown, drag out, but I will be sorely disappointed if the Gators don't win.
Don't worry about it, Nat.
What you're kind of saying, though, Nat, is Gators fans should and are nervous. Should be goodness. And are very nervous.
You see what he hears?
Hold on. I'm 68 years old in a month or two. You don't need to put words in my mouth.
All right. I thought that's what I heard you say.
I was really trying to be nice to the Hurricane fans, and then you try to put words in my mouth.
There we go. That's what they do to me every day, Nat.
Yeah, that's what I thought I heard, Nat. You're saying I heard something else?
Well, you know, they always say people hear what they want to hear, so you're perfect example.
My wife's been telling me that for 21 years now. Nat Moore, legendary.
I think it'll be a hell of a game. Yeah. I think it'll be a hell of a game, and I think both coaches will have their guys ready to play. And right now, you know, Miami is the underdog, but I expect them to come up and give us a good battle. And for the Gators to win.
Yeah, we are definitely excited about it. I agreed with everything you said up until the last sentence.
Y'all can lose with some respect. That's what Nat's saying. Y'all lose with respect.
I agreed with everything but the last sentence there. Nat Moore, legendary Miami Dolphin. Today, the passing of another legendary Miami Dolphin, Nick Bonacani, 78 years old. And as Nat said so eloquently at the beginning, I mean, when you think of that no-name defense, that's the first guy that pops into your head. And that guy brought such enjoyment to so many Miami Dolphins fans throughout his playing days, and then sports viewers during his broadcasting days, and as we said, just a champion for the fight against paralysis and spinal cord research. So he really was a legendary figure on and off the field. So we appreciate you making a little time for us today, Nat.
And guys, think about it. He spent 7 years in Boston with the Patriots before he came to us.
Yeah.
So 14 years in the NFL, and the success he had at his size, which was probably about, I think he played at about 205, 210.
Crazy.
And he was the Mike linebacker, the middle linebacker. That says a lot about the heart of Nick Bonacani.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes you laugh, Crowder, right? I mean, it just wouldn't happen.
5'11", 205, that's borderline strong safety now, Nat. He was a all-pro middle linebacker.
Crazy. Mm-hmm. Nat Moore, thank you for making time for us, Nat. You're one of my favorite Gators. You're certainly my favorite Gator in this particular conversation.
And you can go to hell again.
All right, guys. Y'all have a good one.
See you, Nat. Nat Moore. I like that. He called me out real quick on what I said.
Nat's a nice dude. Yeah. You ain't going to tell him what he's saying.
You don't need to tell me what I just said.
Bro, you talking about commanding a room?
He commands a room.
Bro, Nat got something.
Yeah.
Nat can walk in and take over a room of 10 or 10,000. Nat got something.
Nat Moore there. Sad day for NFL and Dolphins fans, obviously. Nick Bonacani passes away at the age of 78. Radio.com. Radio.com. remind you, it's almost time for the Joe DiMaggio Children's Hospital Kids Expo presented by Public Supermarkets. You could join us September 7th at the Museum of Discovery and Science in Fort Lauderdale. Meet teen TV star Isaac Presley, courtesy of Goya Foods, plus 75 STEAM activities for the whole family. You can register now for a free kids admission ticket while supplies last. You could do that at WQAM.com. 5 o'clock hour on the Hockman and Crowder Extravaganza, presented by our friends at the Funky Buddha Brewery. And Funky Buddha is a banger.
I agree.
I know. I'm trying to catch Solana off guard. Because if you're going to make the banger and not a banger sounds, you better be ready to have him go off at a moment's notice. In case something's not a banger. You're hitting it too soon and you're cutting off the beginning of it.
All right, let's try again.
You better be ready. He's terrible at this.
Yeah.
One more time.
Nope.
Let's develop him. We got to develop him a little bit.
I don't know if we missed our window of opportunity.
I'm well developed, Chan.
Don't call me Chan.
Papa.
And you're more of a Rosen than a Fitzpatrick right now. I just have to tell you.
You're the firmly planted second tier right now.
Yes.
As Josh Rosen is. I saw a headline. Chris Broussard and what's the guy's name? Rob Parker. They do that show on Fox Sports. Yeah. So it's Fox Sports Radio, and the headline I saw yesterday was Dolphins are wasting their time giving Ryan Fitzpatrick any playing time. And their take on it essentially was, because we know now Ryan Fitzpatrick, if they announce a starter today, now we had Kim Bokamper on at 4 o'clock. He's like, don't get caught up in what Brian Flores said yesterday on July 30th. Like, there's plenty of time. He wasn't adamant that he's made a decision. The quote from Broussard was, you want to be either a playoff team or terrible to get a top pick. And if Ryan Fitzpatrick starts, you know you're just going to be mediocre. Starting Fitzpatrick makes no sense to me. You're accomplishing nothing having him out there, and it's just a lost season. And then Rob Parker chimes in, we all know what Fitzpatrick is. We've all seen him put up magical numbers and then turn into a pumpkin right on cue. For an organization to trot out Fitzpatrick again and try to sell that to fans, I mean, really? You're wasting snaps on him? I get it, by the way. I get it. It's a valid argument.
I fully understand. I understand that side 100%. My rebuttal to them would be, are you trying to win or not? Because you can't approach it by saying we're putting Rosen out here to see what he has. But then I would want Parker and Chris Broussard to explain that to Kenny Stills and Albert Wilson, yep, and Jakeem Grant, yep, and Laremy Tunsil. That's the angle I'm coming from. They see Rosen. They know Rosen. They've seen Rosen in Arizona. They've watched film on him. Do not send us out with this leader. He is the leader of us. Don't send us out on this field with
just
this guy.
Put the best guy out there. I get it. But as Broussard and Rob Parker say there, like, it'll be a lost season. Trust me, if we get to the end of the season and they're 7-9 or 6-10 and they're picking ninth in the draft, there is going to be call after call. They wasted their opportunity.
Yeah.
They shouldn't have played Fitzpatrick. You knew you were going to get 6 or 7 wins. Like, people, I mean, it's just the reality.
And that's the thing. People are acting like Fitzpatrick is really going to win a lot of games.
No, but 6 or 7 is a reality with them.
Yeah, at the best. I'm talking about everything goes like it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And honestly, I'd have to go back and look, but this would probably be one of the weaker offensive lines he's ever played behind.
I would imagine, for sure.
So he's a 5-win guy historically, 15 years. That's a big-ass sample size, 5-win guy, and now he's behind a very weak offensive line. Laremy Tunsil and them is what it is, to be honest, and now he's going to win 7 or 8. If they win 5, they can still get a top quarterback, because people don't just – and this is something I've thought about. I've said it before on the show. The other bad teams – already drafted there. The Redskins drafted a guy last year. Arizona drafted Kyler Murray. That's why we got Rosen. And if you want to move up, if we're in the top 7, you want to move up, there's 12 draft picks the Dolphins have. You can give your 7th pick, a second rounder, 2 fourth rounders and jump up to number two or three. Like, you have draft equity right now. They plan for this. They plan for the draft equity.
I'm looking, you said, you know, you get 5 wins, 6 wins. I'm looking at last year's final standings. Cardinals were 3-13, and then the Giants had 5 wins. Oh, I'm sorry, the 49ers had 4 wins. So the Cardinals had 3 wins, 49ers had 4 wins, the Bucks and the Giants had 5 wins. I got to look in the AFC. Jaguars had 5 wins as well. The Raiders and the Jets had 4 wins. So you had one team with 3 wins, and I believe 3 teams with 4 wins.
Yeah.
So, you know, 3, 4, 5 wins, you're still in the conversation for getting a quarterback for sure. Because, like you say, you don't. Not every team is going to need a quarterback. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
We win 5 games. The Redskins win 3. The Redskins just drafted.
Right, they've got a quarterback.
So, hey, trade us your 3rd, your 2nd pick for our 6th, and we'll throw in 2 fourth rounders and a 6 and a 7. Something like, you have 12 draft picks. You probably don't want to draft 12 guys. You want to move some of those picks to move up to work the salary cap you have. You have $100 million. Maybe you can look into trading something, you know, in the offseason going into that draft. Like, they're planning for the draft. And I understand I'm almost fighting against myself saying win more games, but you're planning for next year. But you can't just throw Rosen out there. Go out there, big man. Let's see what happens. You can't sell. In the fan base, you're not selling it to the fan base. That's what I was getting after.
Selling
when
it
you
to the players.
You have to sell it to the player. That's what people, when they talk about this, it's the one group of people everybody forgets to talk about. Brian Flores needs to understand the plan. He does. Stephen Ross, he understands. Tom Garfinkel, they understand the plan. You cannot sell that to the 52 other guys that are on that team.
Yeah, you got to remember, I mean, there's guys on there that are busting their ass, so they don't want you to go, well, you know, we're not really trying to do anything this season, but also run to the TNT wall because you mishandled a snap. Or what? Like, it's not congruous. Like, it doesn't make sense. We got a TNT wall, but then I might not trot out the best player at quarterback. Brian Flores is not going to put himself in that situation.
Knock on wood, I will pray to everybody, whoever you pray to, I hope it doesn't happen. But there is a high chance someone tears their ACL in the Miami Dolphins this year during a game, during a practice, during something. Tear their shoulder up. Mess their neck up. Maybe a season-ending injury. You're going to have your ACL torn, your vertebrae cracked or something like that. Knowing that you're not trying to win or not trying to put the best players on the field, even if your roster's on the lighter side, you have to put the best player on that light roster on the field. When you think and talk about this concept of who's to start at quarterback, please, everybody out there, start thinking about the other 52 guys on this team when you start talking about it.
Solana, I will allow you to determine, and we will do this forevermore, you will be the determining decision. Was today's show a banger or not a banger? Wow, all right. So we'll know at the end of the show if our independent arbiter, Alejandro Solana, has deemed today's show a banger or not a banger. Today's a banger. All right. Well, you got to feel pretty good getting out of here now. I may have to stop at the food hall downstairs and get myself something to drink.
I'm with you.
Nat Moore was on with us. We talked about the life and legacy of Nick Bonacani. Kim Bocamper, he talked some Dolphins, and Nick Bonacani with us as well. Brian Bishop from the Super Bowl host committee, the Super Bowl 54, which will be here in February. We got a lot of answers, and we appreciate everyone for joining us. All the interviews will be posted at WQAM.com upon completion of the program, which happens to be right around now. I see Frank Zaffrey and Alex Dono huddling up outside, getting ready for a riveting edition of Fight Night. That will do it for us. We will speak with you mañana.
Everybody likes guacamole.
Our hero won't sleep until he finds the balance.
I'd be up late at night, and I'd be drunk.
Not a bender.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.